Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Well, kind of fun to see a snapshot of 2017. There's a lot that was summarized there. Thank you, Nigel, for cramming that all in. Good job. Well, man, it's hard to believe. Stacy and I have now been here as your pastors at New Life for a little over a year, and it's been fun to see what God has done. And, one thing that I've started over the course of our time here is taking a time about twice a year where we call it Vision Sunday, where we take time on to set apart to focus on vision, to focus on this. Vision has to do with a picture of where you're going and what your eyes are fixed upon, and so we'll do one here in February, and we usually do one in September as well, where we just take a little time to talk about these things and to step back and to rejoice a little bit in where we've come from, but also to look towards where we're going. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 29, it says these words, it says, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so as we take time to get focused on the vision of God for our church and for our lives, it keeps us moving in a direction that is life-giving and transformative, both to us and to the world around us. And so I'm going to take a little time today I'm going to give you a few updates. We're going to celebrate some things. We're going to talk vision. And like I said, then at the end, we'll give a brief break, and then we'll do our business meeting. But next Sunday, I'm going to be starting a series called Life Without Limits. We're going to be studying through the book of Mark. And as I was praying and looking towards this year, one of the things that I've really been just stirred by, and as I've talked with even many of you, there's this hunger to live our lives in a way that's free and it's joy filled and that really reflects the lifestyle of Jesus. And some of you that even have expressed to me this hunger to really to walk in the fullness of just the truth that he guided us in throughout his life. And so we're going to be doing that in this series called Life Without Limits. And you know, how many know that we live in a world where so many people are living bound up? Right, that they're living bound up. They're living bound up by fear. They're living bound up by even struggles from their past. And yet Jesus has said, I've come that you might experience life more abundantly. I've come that you might live in freedom. And so we want to walk through that. And this would be a great series both for you to learn from, but also this is a visitor-friendly series. And many of you know we at New Life encourage you to have someone sitting next to you, so a neighbor, a friend, a family member, to have someone that you've brought with you at least a couple times a year. And so this would be a great series to do that. But just in this last year, I want to just recount a couple of the cool things that we've gotten to see God do over the last year. Some of them are real practical. Some of them you saw in that video. But we obviously got to do Easter Palooza, which was a great event with 500 people from our community who are out here. And we got to reach out and to be a blessing and just to have some fun working together to do something like that. We got to do Serve Day, where a bunch of us got to go into the community and care for both those in a lower income neighborhood area. We also got to partner with Hillcrest Elementary, and we got to just put our love into action through Serve Day. And so it was fun to just work together and to see and even hear from a number of the people, both from the neighborhoods as well as from the school, just how blessed they were by both our action and by just our loving presence with them. We got to start something this last year called Life Track, which many of you have started going through. If you aren't familiar with Life Track, it's a great thing. It's every Sunday, the first, second, third, fourth Sunday. It's 4 weeks long, and you can start really in one, two, or three, but you got to do those three before you do step four. But it's all about discovering who we are as a church and how you can get connected. And so whether you've been around for a long time or whether you're brand new here, it's a great thing. I want to encourage you to do that. But we started Life Track. We doubled the number of our small groups in this last year. And so more and more opportunities for you to get involved and to get connected in relationship. We got to do a bunch of facility updates. We've gotten to get some signs and some things done in various spaces of the church. There have been areas that were needing some loving. We got our bathrooms remodeled. A special shout out to Rodney and Lisa and a couple of the team leads. They really helped bring some beauty to our bathroom. So, you know, if you spend too much time in there, give them a hand. Yeah. I was telling someone, I think it's one of my favorite places to go in the church now, you know. So if you find me in there, don't judge, okay? But God's provision and his faithfulness have been so great. A couple of things I want to share. I'll give, again, some numbers in the membership, or, you know, because the membership meeting, the business meeting after this. But I do want to mention in this last year, we've seen 30% growth in our average attendance over this last year. And so that's a great thing to celebrate, which, just to give you a little context, over 70% of churches in America are in decline. And even those that 30% that are growing, only 10% of those are growing over 10% in their growth rate. So that means that we're in a small category of churches that are growing in that way. And I think that's worth celebrating. Not I don't think it's to any one of our credits as much as to recognize that I believe God's doing something special here in Frederick County. And I think he's doing something special here in our church family. And I think for us to just be able to rejoice in that and go, God, it's not about any one of us as much as us saying, let's all be part of that together. Let's each one of us matter in that, because as we each do our part, as we each do our part in loving our neighbor and ministering to those that God brings through these doors, I believe that is just going to continue to happen more and more. We had 89 people give their lives to Christ this last year. We had 89 salvations. Yeah. We had 6 baptisms, 23 new members, and each of these to me represents steps. You know, when I talk about Life Track, what it's about is helping us have clarity in terms of our next step. No matter who you are in this room, including me, we should always know what our next step is. Like, every week, every month, I'm going, God, what is my next step? Because if I stop taking steps, then that means I'm dying. I'm going backwards. I'm getting stuck. I'm getting stagnant in my relationship with you, even in my relationship with others. And so you should always know what your next step is. And so we want to continually make those things clear and give those opportunities. And again, I rejoice in especially those, because those represent monumental steps, right? The decision for salvation, the decision to go public with your faith and baptism, and your decision to connect in the life of the local church. And so again, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in people's lives. Amen. 28 people have joined the Dream Team. That means people who have gone through Life Track and gotten connected in ministry that weren't before. And so that means in various ways, people who were not engaged many of those are people who are brand new to our church, but people who have said, I want to serve. I want to use my gifts to be a blessing to others. And so that's an amazing statistic as well. Let's give God praise for that, for those that are getting involved. And so I wanted to just give that brief ministry report. Oh, yeah, one other number. We sent 71 kids to camp this last year as well. That's a great thing. So, you know, around here, you'll notice that for me, as we carry out ministry, we care about you adults, but really, it's all about the kids. I mean, if we can invest well in this next generation, if we can love them well, and if we disciple them well, then we're going to see, not only in this few year period of time, see transformation happen in our community, but we're going to see the next 25 years, we're going to see Frederick County turned upside down for Jesus because of this generation. Amen? And so we want to continue to make investment in that way. And I just want to give with that, I want to give a shout out to really our entire staff in particular, Stacy, Susan, Drew, and Liz, and Kelvin, and I'm Sharon. You know, we have in our ministry team leaders, Lisa and Nicole. They do so much to make the way for people to get involved and to equip them and to train them and to invest in those that God is raising up. Can we give them a hand and thank them for all that they do? I also want to mention, I'll talk about them in our next, in the kind of the part B meeting, the business meeting, but I do want to give thanks to our church council. If you're in the room and you're part of our church council, would you stand to your feet real quick here? Nigel, Todd, there we go. Yeah. Can we just thank them for, our church council is a huge foundation of support for me. I rely on them in so many ways. I'm so thankful for you guys and for all that you do, both in not only the financial stewardship, but even more the spiritual covering that they bring for me as a pastor. And so I'm very thankful for them. But today I want to ask you if you'd turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to be actually kind of jumping around a little bit, but you can start there and see where you wind up by the end, but Acts chapter 4. Even in the transition there, I was talking about this element of joy, and I was remembering a story I heard a while ago of, you probably heard it, of twin boys whose parents were getting concerned because they noticed that one of them was very, very negative. I mean, just was always seeing the downside of everything. One of them was, the other twin, the other boy, was very positive, and they were concerned, so they went to a psychologist and said, you know, what do we do? I mean, our twins, these boys, they're so different. And so the psychologist says, you know, I have an idea. I'm going to ask you to do something. You need to do it exactly like I tell you, because I want to help kind of rebalance their personalities. And so he said, what I want you to do for their next birthday, I want you to put them in two separate rooms. I want you to put the pessimist in one room, and I want you to put the optimist in the other room. And I want you, in the pessimist room, I want you to fill it to the brim with the best stuff. And so they did. They filled it with toys and games and, you know, just computer, you know, tablet, all these things, and just filled to the brim. And then he said, I want you in the pessimist room, I want you to put like a box of manure. And he said, what? Yeah, just put some manure in that room. And said, okay. So they do. They fill the room with toys, and they send the pessimist in there, and then they put the manure in the other room and send the optimist in there. And a few minutes later, they can hear in the room of the pessimist, they hear him crying. And just, and they walk in and they go, what's wrong? And he said, all this stuff, is just, I mean, the computer, it's going to just get slow and break down. And the toys, I mean, they're going to break. I'm going to lose the batteries. And my friends have a better toy than this one. He's just going on and on and on. And he's just crying and whining about how nothing is good enough. And then they hear in the other room, they hear, and they walk in and they see the optimist son dancing around the room, and he's looking in the closet and the corners, and they go, what are you jumping around? Why are you doing this? And he said, well, with all this manure in here, I figured there's got to be a pony around here somewhere. And, you know, it's a simple little story, and yet to me, I think it gives an illustration of the power of joy in our lives. And again, I mentioned and I talked a moment ago about joy, and I talked about the element of what it can do in terms of transformation of our lives. And when it comes to the beginning of this conversation about vision, I believe that this element of joy is huge. In fact, you read in Acts chapter 4, and I'm not going to go through all of it. I've done it a little bit over this last month or so. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it gives this picture that for us has to do with a prophetic picture that I have for our church in this year. But it says, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. And so there's this environment of much grace. In fact, when you read the rest of that passage, it talks about the ways that these apostles were ministering, the things that they were doing, that they were, all the Christians were giving generously, they were caring for one another, that even in the face of persecution, that it didn't slow them down. If anything, they ramped up their ministry. They were having great impact. And the world around them, when it described what the church looked like, it said there's just much grace upon them all, that there was a special favor and blessing upon them. And so, you know, as we talk about what we want to see together as a church, it has to do with this much grace environment, this environment where there's this joy about how we live our lives that has an impact to the world around us. Jesus, he described his prayer in this way. He said, you know, the thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that much more abundantly. And so when I begin talking about vision today, I want to just say this, that first and foremost, I want you to know that my vision is you. Our vision as a church is you. Our vision is that you, as an individual and as families and as a church family, would live in this way, in the way that you relate to one another, in the way you relate to God, that you would have this joy and this, that there would be this much grace experience that you would live in, where that the world around you would go, there's something different about the way they're living their lives. That they're not just religious. That there's something about their lives, that there's this abundant life, that there's something of almost a tangible sense, this magnetic draw that people would have to our lives. That they go, tell me about this God that you serve. Tell me about Jesus. And so my vision is that would be the case for each and every one of us. That I believe that when God's people are living in a place of abundant life, that's when we change the world. That's when we change the world. And so the Bible, again, talks about this in a variety of ways, and I'm going to walk through that this morning. But first of all, I want to summarize for you how we talk about vision here at New Life. And it really has to do with four things. The first is our vision for your life is that, first of all, you would know God. If you're going to have abundant life, you got to know God. There's a lot of people that think that, you know, they kind of go through the motions. They show up at church, or they figure if their parents go to church that they know God. But that's called being religious. We want people to move beyond this religious approach to things, to move to this place where they know God, where you come to know God in relationship. And you begin to recognize there's a lot of people that think that they've got to get their lives together before they come to know God. But the reality is, no, you got to get to God so you can get your life together. And so we want people to come to know God so that then secondly, they can find freedom. That they can settle the things of their past once and for all. That they can begin to walk in freedom from the things that they used to carry, the burdens that they used to be weighed down by, the things that they've been hurt by. And the thing is this, that you can't begin to see your life ahead of you until you settle your yesterdays. But once you settle your yesterdays, then you can begin to, that's when the lights come on. And you begin to recognize that you aren't here by accident. And you can do the third thing, which is discover purpose. And once you've discovered purpose, that's when you recognize again that God made you for a reason, he gave you gifts and abilities, then you can start to make a difference. And so I'm going to walk through these a little bit more here in a moment or two, but I wanted to just give you that right off the top, that summarizes when I talk about experiencing abundant life, when I talk about what it looks like to become a people who are walking in the much grace of God, those four things have to be going on in your life. And that's what we want to do here at New Life. We want to lead you in those four things. And so when I pray for you, and I pray for you on a regular basis, I think it's in the pastor job description somewhere, I use this verse as an outline for my prayer. Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 18. In fact, these verses really reveal those four things I just described for you. It's the Apostle Paul. It's a prayer that he prayed when he says this. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And so the first thing that Paul says there, he says, my prayer is that God would do this work in you, that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that what? You can know him better. So again, we want you to know God. And here's what this has to, when I talk about how we do that here at New Life, it's recognizing this. And if you're taking notes there in your little your note guide there, I think it's important that we understand that we all help create an environment where people can encounter God. That we want to have an environment here at New Life, especially in our Sunday morning gatherings, where people can come to know God. Where people who are first of all, people who are far from God, who are unchurched, who do not have a relationship, that they can have an opportunity to encounter God. That's why we go to great lengths, and we're going to continue to work at ways to make this an environment where people feel welcome. That's why we have greeters and ushers and people that are ready to receive people, and throughout with children's ministry and beyond, that we want to make it a place where people can, there's no distractions, there's nothing that would cause people to feel like an outsider, but if anything, that they feel welcomed in and that they can be responsive to the message and to the presence and the love of God. They can come to know him. We want this to be a place where not only people who are far from God can come to know him, but that you and I, every single one of us, can grow deeper in our knowledge of God. And so we, from our Sunday morning gatherings to our prayer, we have 21 days of prayer twice every year, where we're focusing in on how on our depth of relationship with God, where we have first Wednesdays that are about going deeper in worship and prayer as well, where we're doing deeper equipping in terms of the relationship with God and the spirit-filled life. Because all of those things are really about one thing. How many know that church is great, but all these environments are about equipping people to be influencers in the world? And so we want you to know God, because you can't influence the world by just being religious. It comes through a knowledge of the living God. And so we want to help provide that kind of environment where you and you can bring friends and family, and as well, they can come to know him. The second thing, though, has to do with finding freedom. Again, you got to settle your yesterdays. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I think the second thing I want you to understand about this is that we are all part of building a healthy relational culture. See, the way that we find freedom is through relationships. What James describes there is an environment where we are able to share our burdens and open up to others. And you know, maybe you've heard this said before, but we'll always be as sick as our secrets. And so I'm not saying that you should go around and tell everybody your secrets. Please don't do that. But you should have someone. And we want our small groups to be those kinds of environments where we can be real in our relationships with one another, where we can share and ask people for prayer and say, I'm struggling with this. Would you help me? How many of you have ever, maybe you've gone to you show up to a small group, or you show up to church and you walk in the door and everyone's going, hey, how you doing? And you're going, I'm doing fine. And your family member or spouse is looking at you going, you just cussed all the way here. You're not doing fine. and what if we could have the kind of environment where we could take off the mask and go, you know, I'm struggling. Now, I'm not, you're going, okay, Pastor, do you want me to cuss at small group too? Hey, whatever it takes, you know. But we want to have the kind of environment where Because see, when we learn how to be real in our relationships, that's where we begin to find freedom. Where we can just all start at the starting point where we say, hey, none of us are perfect here. And how many know that when you begin to embrace that and are able to live out of that realization where, hey, none of us are perfect, that's the most freeing thing in the world. Where you don't have to fake it till you make it, that you can begin to let down and you can begin to love and be loved. Man, that is a life-giving environment. And so over this, in fact, today, over the course of this week, there's a bunch of small groups that are starting up. If you haven't gotten connected to one, there's a small groups guide back there at the small groups table. And I want to encourage you to jump in. And I want to tell you right off the bat, there's a lot of different groups. There's some that have different studies that are going on, and those are great. There's life journaling groups, which are incredible, because not only do you get to build relationship, but you're also getting to learn how to build your devotional life and reading the Bible. There's a lot of great small groups in there. But I got to tell you that you'll get to the end of the small group and you realize that whatever the curriculum was, it may be good and fine, but that wasn't the purpose. The real purpose is relationship. The real purpose is learning how to be in these kinds of relationships that are life-giving. And so what begins to happen as you do that, as you start to find freedom through the context of Christ-centered relationships, is that no longer are you looking through the lens of yesterday. You're able to settle your yesterdays, and when you start to do that, then you can start to look through the lens of tomorrow. You start to look ahead, begin to recognize, God, what have you made me for? How have you made me? With purpose. And that's when we start to discover purpose. And one of my favorite verses along these lines is Psalm 139, where it says this. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And you know, as I was praying about this the other day, something welled up inside of me. In fact, if I'm honest, a few tears came to my eye. Because Lord began to put people in my heart, not even in anyone in particular, as much as the Lord began to put it in my heart that there are some in this place that, in fact, there was someone that I felt like had been bullied at a young age, and I felt like God wanted to make known to you that you are not an accident, that he made you with purpose, that there's someone else who feels like they're just stuck in this depression, like you feel like you're just going through the motions. In fact, I saw someone, they just were paying bills, and like their eyes were just glazed over, and they just felt so empty. And the Lord would say to you, I've made you with purpose. That you don't have to be stuck in that place any longer, that I have more for you. And there's so many others that what I believe God wants each and every person in this place to know is that you are not an accident. Furthermore, your mistakes are, the things of your past are they don't disqualify you. Whatever the narrative of your life has been, or even things that maybe your parents did to you, those things don't define you. And that whatever the chapters of your life have been there, realize that God's not done writing the chapters of your life yet. And that you can begin to live out the story that he has for you as you enter into that purpose. And so what that means, though, is that we each need to take steps towards our God-given calling. And I described that a little earlier. We want to invite you to both to go through Life Track and to engage in small groups and to start serving, because here's the thing, sociologists, they took years to figure this out, but the Bible's been saying it all along, that the greatest and highest need that is to be met in a human heart has to do with this thing called transcendence, where you begin to live for a cause that's bigger than you. And as Christ followers and as the church together, we live for a cause that is not only bigger than us, but a cause that lasts for eternity. That we begin to live and carry out a purpose that has to do with making a difference for eternity. And the thing is, we can't do alone what we can do together. And that's why we talk here about the dream team. That as you start to discover your purpose, it's not just about you getting to do your thing and check me out, you know, I'm a rock star. As much as that we each matter. And as we work together, that we can do so much more together. And that happens as we discover our purpose. And then we start to make a difference. Again, when we don't see God's vision for our lives, here's the danger. The danger is that we start to live for an earthly counterfeit. See, the devil offers a counterfeit to God's vision. And it promises everything, but it delivers nothing. In fact, here's the devil's counterfeit. Instead of know God, he says, here's the counterfeit, know me. That is living for ourselves, right? Know me. Social media promises that, right? You check me out. You know, check out my perfect life on Instagram, on Facebook. Know me. The devil, the second counterfeit he'll offer is then find, not freedom, but find fame, right? It's all about you getting out there. Thirdly, though, this third part of his counterfeit is discover a platform. Because people, you have something important to say. People need to hear it. And then finally, rather than make a dime, make a difference, it's make a dime. Live for yourself. Live for what you can get in this world. And see, when you start to discover your purpose and start to live for something of eternity, again, it's about playing a part in this thing called mission in the life of the church. That we all have a part to play in the mission of the church. And if you never find your calling, then you'll never have hope. Over the course of this upcoming year, we're going to have a lot of opportunities to make a difference together. In fact, in the summer season, our small groups are going to be geared around doing outreach together. We're going to be doing outreach together as a church. We're going to be doing, in our Easter season, we're going to be doing Easter Palooza, and it's going to be a great time to love our community. We're going to be doing some things as we move into the fall season in terms of building our small groups in even greater ways. We're going to be finding some opportunities to do ongoing outreach as a church, not just a few times a year, but in an ongoing manner. We're going to be continuing to partner with global missions around the world. And each one of these things, God's made us and wired us with gifts and abilities. Some of you, God's going to raise you up in this upcoming year to be small group leaders. Some of you, God's going to stir your heart to start to do outreach in greater ways than you've done before. Some of you, God's going to call you to minister to children and to go to camp or to serve in some of the outreaches that we're doing. And as we join into that, as we each play a part in the mission of the church, here's two things that are going to happen. One, you're going to find a place of greater joy. You're going to begin to enter into a place of abundant life as you live those things out. But the second byproduct of that is that we're going to change the world. We're going to see the community of Frederick County transformed for the glory of God. I love what Jesus says in John 15. Verse 8, he's in verse 11, he says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." See, as we bear fruit as disciples, as we live out our faith together, that's when the joy grows in our lives. And again, that's when the abundant life comes. And so, as we know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference, I want us to understand something, though, that those last three are wonderful. I mean, make a difference, discover purpose, find freedom, but it all begins with knowing God. In fact, in Mark 8, verse 34 and 35, it says that Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." Here's the thing. You're going to lose your life. I hate to break it to you, but the death rate is at 100%. Even those of you who eat organic food, The only difference is you're going to have a nasty taste in your mouth. When you die, I'm going to have a little bit of glaze on the corner of my cheek, you know. But the death rate is 100%. And here's the thing. There's some that maybe are even here today that you've been living to try and preserve your life. That you've been thinking, you know what, I can run my life better than God. I have this plan, I have this thing, that this is the way it's got to go. And yet, I want you to know today that it all begins with surrendering your life to Him, to following Him. And I want you to ask you to just set your Bibles aside and your notes aside here for a minute. Because I can talk about all these things, and these are all very important things, but I would hate to run through all this and not say this, that if you're here today and you would recognize that maybe you've known about God, maybe you've even been around the church, but you'd recognize today that, God, I haven't been in a place where I've known you personally, where I've been in living in relationship with you. And today, if you'd say, I recognize that that lack of joy in my life, that place of struggle that I've been in, that is because I need that relationship with Him. And so I want to ask everyone to close your eyes with me today, and I want to just give opportunity. If there's anyone here at all today that would say, you know what? I'm tired of trying to run my own life. I'm tired of trying to figure out ways to drum up joy and abundant life. And if you would be one today that would say, Pastor, I want to say yes to Him. I want to know God today. I want to welcome Him in, and I want today to be a new beginning in my life. If that would be you, every head's bowed right now and every eye is closed, and I just want to invite you, if that would be you today, would you lift up your hand so I can pray for you? I want to just ask right now, if that's you, you'd say, I want to say yes to Him. I want to say yes to knowing God today. Would just slip up your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Anyone at all that would say that? Yeah. Anyone else that would say that? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Lord, I thank you for these three that have made this decision today, that they've made the decision to follow you, to start relationship with you today. And right now, Lord, we just come to your throne, and we welcome you in this place. In fact, I want to ask everyone to just repeat this simple prayer in agreement with those that have said yes to Him today. Just repeat it after me. Jesus, I welcome you in my life. I choose to follow you and to walk in your ways. I'm not looking for religion. I'm looking for relationship. Help me today to live in freedom as I follow you. Thank you for your great love. In your name I pray. Can we just give God praise today with those that have made that decision? Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.